Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced another 46 Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday, including 7 in Fairbanks and 1 in North Pole. There were also 3 new non-resident cases statewide. The Department of Health and Social Services announced 1 new hospitalization yesterday, and the agency says the number of people currently being treated for COVID-19 in Alaska hospitals is 28. The Fairbanks North Star Borough's Juanita Helms Administration Center will remain closed to staff and the public until Monday following 2 borough employees testing positive for COVID-19. The borough received notification Wednesday that 1 employee tested positive, and yesterday a 2nd staffer was also confirmed to have the disease. Borough Mayor Bryce Ward says investigation of the individual's contacts is underway.
To identify which members of the team they have come in close contact with, and then identifying those individuals and then providing them with the option to get tested or go into quarantine.
Mayor Ward says any possible spread to the public is also being investigated.
Public health is doing the tracing for members of the public that are not part of the borough staff that may have come into contact.
The 2 employees worked in separate parts of the borough building, and the entire facility will undergo thorough sanitization over the weekend.
Have our contractor go through, do a deep cleaning of the facility, and then reopen it as staff members check out. If folks did have contact with the individual, then they would have to go into a quarantine period, which we have set at 14 days before they're able to return to work.
The Juanita Helms Administration Center has only been open to the public by appointment since the pandemic hit Alaska in mid-March. The employee COVID-19 cases confirmed Wednesday and yesterday are the first among borough staff. Delta Junction officials have closed the city's library because one of its workers was in the proximity of someone who subsequently tested positive for COVID-19. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
City officials closed the Delta Community Library to the public Thursday morning after one of the staff members said she'd recently been near a person who later tested positive for COVID-19. Mayor J.W. Musgrove says the worker had undergone a preliminary test which came back negative, but he says the library will remain closed until a secondary test on the worker confirms the initial negative result, and after the library undergoes a deep cleaning.
So pending all of those things, there's a chance that we'll partially reopen on Monday.
Partially reopen because the library's been operating for months now under state-recommended guidelines to limit the number of people inside and require patrons to wear masks and maintain social distancing. Musgrove said Thursday the city's taken other measures to protect library workers and the public.
I have authorized testing for staff at city expense.
The worker who reported the possible exposure to COVID-19 has been self-isolating at home while awaiting the secondary test results. The mayor says while the testing and cleaning is underway at the library, staff will check out books and other media to patrons who call in beforehand and pick up the materials outside the library.
Curbside service will be available for library patrons.
The library offered curbside service back in March during the initial coronavirus lockdown. So far, 3 people in the Delta area have tested positive for COVID-19, and at least 5 positive tests had been reported by mid-June among workers at the Pogo Mine, located about 38 miles northeast of town. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Yukon River's King and Summer Chum Salmon runs have both come back on the low end of preseason projections, and the run's timing has complicated harvest management. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Yukon River summer season manager Holly Carroll says the King run actually came in a little better than initially anticipated following a late start.
For the drainage-wide, we're estimating a projected run size of closer to 150,000. That kind of run size can meet escapement goals, but typically it requires a lot of subsistence restrictions. And so early on in the season, we had a lot of front-end closures as the run was coming in.
Carroll notes that the Canadian portion of the King run is quite strong and should meet the border passage goal. She says the much larger Yukon River summer chum return, which overlaps the King run, has been relatively weaker.
The summer chum run is the real confounding problem this year. You know, we saw that it was late and we assumed it would be late like last year. Unfortunately, it's clear now that the run isn't just late, it's also very weak.
With just over 500,000 summer chums counted at the Yukon's mouth, Carroll says the run is well below the average of 1.5 million fish for this point in the season.
We may just see continued summer chum coming into the fall season. Maybe they're coming in late, but this is still a worrying run size. This is still quite weak, and so we did stop all commercial fishing, and we even had a lot of reports that subsistence harvests of summer chum were pretty weak this year.
Carol says fishing has been made worse by unusually high and debris-filled water and poor fish drying weather.
And it comes at a particularly terrible time in light of the, you know, economic and food security issues that people are dealing with as a result of the COVID pandemic.
Carol says there's some hope that the fall chum run will save the season for fishermen, but notes that poor summer chum runs are often followed by weak fall returns, and early indications are that may be the case this year. University of Alaska Regents plan to interview candidates to serve as the university system's interim president. The move follows the recent departure of Jim Johnson, who served as UA's president for 5 years. A university release says the finalists' names will be announced at a board meeting today and be followed by interviews to be conducted through Monday. It says the individuals to be interviewed were narrowed from an initial pool of candidates that included people suggested by Regents and UA stakeholders and others who asked to be considered. The selected candidate will lead the university for up to 18 months while the board conducts a formal presidential search. A last-minute deal has emerged to keep Raven Air Group's core assets in Alaska. After a failed auction Wednesday, a Southern California commuter service with Alaska ties has agreed to buy Raven's two passenger airlines, Penn Air and Corvus, for $8 million. As Alaska Public Media's Nat Hurst reports, the company's new leaders say they hope to put planes back in the air in a month.
At least one group of Alaskans, which included transportation executive Jim Jansen and former Raven executive Bob Hajdukovic, was vying for Raven's planes, but in the end, Raven agreed to sell six of its big Dash 8s, plus the operating certificates for Corvus and Penn Air, to a Southern California company called Float Shuttle. Float Shuttle stands for Fly Over All Traffic, and its current business is carrying California commuters who want to avoid being stuck in their cars. Rob McKinney, who's going to be Raven's new chief executive, spent 6 years running a Southeast Alaska airline called Wings. A second Float executive also spent 5 years in Alaska working for Raven, McKinney says.
So, you know, we think that not only do we bring a depth of aviation knowledge, but, you know, we feel confident that we're Alaska-specific as well.
The new Raven is keeping its name for now, and it intends to use a $32 million COVID-19 payroll grant that's been provisionally made available by the Trump administration. Float Shuttle only bought six of Raven's 9 planes that were up for sale, but they plan to lease 3 more to get the fleet back up to full size and will be keeping all the planes in Alaska, McKinney says.
We are 100% focused on Alaska and serving Alaskans.
The major investor for the new Raven is what's called an incubator, a company that helps startups get off the ground. This particular incubator is called HMCINQ. Its companies have to have at least one owner who's a graduate of Harvey Mudd College, a California liberal arts school that focuses on engineering, science, and math. In this case, that's Tom Shea, one of Float Shuttle's co-founders. He says the incubator will be much more hands-off and community-minded than the private equity companies that owned the old Raven, who rural residents often criticized for being unresponsive.
We're actually really aware of that frustration, and that is certainly something that our team is dead set on rectifying and changing, you know, to be the hometown airline.
The sale to Float Shuttle has been cleared by federal bankruptcy court, the company says, and the new owners aim to have federal approval to resume flying in about a month. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
And I'm Dan Bross.